B'siyata d'shmai, we're going to learn Ksubas Daf Tes Zayin. We're going to start 9 lines from the bottom of Daf Tes Vav Amud Beis, the next Mishnah, the first Mishnah of the second Perek of Maseches Ksubas. Says the Mishnah, Ho'isho shenis armelo, a woman that lost her husband, she became a widow, Oishen is garasho, or she got divorced, and those are the two reasons, the two ways in which she is deserving of Ksuba. Ksuba, the way we know it, is a document, a signed document, a commitment from the husband to his wife. And one of the things that it says there, that is, in the event that the marriage terminates with either his death or a divorce, he is going to pay her what we call ksuba. We've already discussed this. There's a certain amount of money that he has to pay. If he married a woman who had never been married before, a basula, he has to pay 200 zuz. And if she was an almona, then he pays a mona, 100 zuz, half of that of a basula. So, ha'isha shenis armelo, oishen is garasha, then normally she would come with the ksuba and say, I want my ksuba, pay me the ksuba. Here's proof that he died, proof that he divorced me, I want to be paid the ksuba, either by him, or if he died, then from his yerushim, from those who inherit him. The problem is that over here, a discussion has come, an argument, as to when they first got married, who knows how many decades earlier, or any amount of time earlier, was she a basula, was she an almona? So here, Imeres, she says, basula nesosani, when we got married, I was a basula. Now give me 200 zuz. V'hu oimer, and either he or his, those who are in his place, if he died, they say, loy ki elo almona nesasicha. When you got married, you were an almona, not a basula, and you only get 100 mona, 100 zuz, 1 mona. So what do we do? So im yesh edim sheyotzas behinuma. If there's two witnesses that will come forward and say, when she got married, she went to the walls of the chuppah with a hinuma, something we're going to discuss later in the Gemara, or varosha parua, also something we're going to discuss, but varosha parua means that her hair was a little bit revealed onto her shoulders, then ksuboso mosaim. Then we have proof that the marriage, she was still a basula before the chuppah, and therefore she gets a ksuba of mosaim of 200 zuz. Now, you could ask the million-dollar question, where's her ksuba? It says in the ksuba exactly how much the husband is chayev to pay the wife. So that's something we're going to discuss soon on Daf Tes Zayin. Rashi here says that she lost the ksuba, and we're going to see it's actually going to be machlokes Reb Avohu and Reb Papa, whether she lost the ksuba or whether it was in a place where they relied on the Takonas Chachomim that he has to pay ksuba, and they actually didn't have a ksuba in the first place. It was just taken for granted that the husband has to pay the ksuba without actually putting it down in writing. But either way, there's no ksuba to check, and therefore, when there's no argument, it's all fine. When there is an argument, then if there's a witnesses that will say that when she got married, she was a basula, she gets 200. If not, she'll get 100. Rabbi Yochanan ben Baraika Omer, af chiluke kloyos raya. Another proof that her marriage was that she was a basula was if the witnesses will say that when she got married, they distributed to the children parched, dried out kernels of produce, shiboilim lachim, that were miyabish betanura, she says, that they remain permanently sweet, they're sweetened because they've been parched, they've been roasted or whatever it is in the oven, then they used to distribute that to the children. If they did that, they would typically only do that, or in the place of Rabbi Yochanan ben Baraika, the custom was that when a basula got married, they would do that. So if people said, this is what they did, that would be another proof that she was a basula. Continues the Mishnah, Umayda Rabbi Yeshua, even though we saw in Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis that regarding a migu, migu means that since a person could have said a claim that would have served him better, and he said a claim that's really against him on some level, then that's a proof that he's not lying. Had he lied, he would have said a better claim. That's called migu. Migu means since he could have said a better claim. Rabbi Yeshua says on Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis that we do not use migu, and the woman is not believed with her claim. And those were the Mishnayos over there. However, Rabbi Yeshua agrees that when do we say migu? Not with when she says one claim because she could have said a better claim, but she had to say some claim, because in the absence of a claim, his claim is screaming, where are the basulim? And she said one claim, is she believed, migu, that she could have said a better claim, or not. Rabbi Shua says that not. However, in the event that there's no claim against, then even Rabbi Shua would agree that there is a migu. What would that mean? That means that the party that's making, the other party making the claim, is not saying anything. That means both sides of the claim are being said by one side. And in that case, then migu, the sveris migu, that you could have said nothing and nobody would have asked any questions. It's not like in the case over there where she couldn't say nothing because he's saying, where's the basulim? She has to answer something. But in the case when the absence of her saying anything, he's not saying anything, then that's a much, much stronger migu. She could have just kept quiet. And she said something, there we would use migu. What's the case? Umayda Rabbi Yeshua, not in the case of a husband and a wife, a different case. Bo'imer lechaveri, if Reuven says to Shimon, sodeze shelovicho hiso, Reuven says, you know this field that I'm sitting in? It used to belong to your father. V'lekachte imenu, you don't know anything about it. I'm telling you, it used to belong to your father, and I bought it from him. In that case, Shehu Ne'mon. In that case, Reuven is believed. He's believed that he bought it. Because if it belongs to Shimon's father, give it back to Shimon. Prove that it's yours. No. Sheh'peh she'osar hu ha'peh she'hitir. Which is a phrase used, it's a concept in Shas. Ha'peh she'osar hu ha'peh she'hitir. Which means the mouth that closed it, the mouth that said it was prohibited, is the one that said it's permitted. Here, Shimon never knew any better. He didn't know this field ever belonged to his father. Reuven could have said nothing. So migu, that he could have said nothing, and Shimon wouldn't have asked any questions. Now that he said something, he said this field did belong to your father, but don't think that you have a claim. You don't, because I bought it from your father. That's already where Reuven said both sides of the claim. It was your father's, now it's mine. And had Reuven been silent and said nothing, Shimon would never have known any better, and he would not have come forward with a claim. Then, in that case, Reuven is believed. Even Rabbi Yeshua agrees with that. V'im yesh eidim shehi shel aviv. However, if there's otherwise proof that this field once belonged to Shimon's father, and now Reuven is saying, I agree it belonged to your father, but I bought it from him. Here, you haven't got ha'peh she'osar. Reuven is not the one that is introducing the concept of this field belonged to your father. We have other witnesses saying that. In which case, why should we believe Reuven? Maybe you didn't buy it from Shimon. You, Reuven, agree it once belonged to Shimon's father. Prove that it's yours now. V'hu oimer, Reuven says, lokachte imenu, that I bought it from your father, Shimon's father. Einu ne'mon, he's not believed. Prove it. And how do you prove that property is yours? That's discussed in other places in Shas. Exactly how you prove it. Come with a document, or prove that you've been here long enough and that nobody protested. Either way, that's not the discussion now. But if Shimon has a claim, Reuven may not necessarily be believed to say, I bought it from your father. If Shimon knew nothing, and Reuven is the one that said that it was your father's and I bought it, ha'peh she'osar hu ha'peh she'hitir, and Reuven is believed. Says the Gemara, and coming back now to the beginning of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that if there's a discussion between the husband, if in the case of divorce, or his children in the case of death, between the husband and the wife, whether when they first got married, was she a basula or was she an almona, or was she not a basula, an almona, then we said that if there's edim, proof that the marriage ceremony was done in a way that was typically only done with basula, that's enough proof that she's a basula. What is that? So the Mishnah called that either hinuma or roisha parua. Says the Gemara, taima de'ike edim. So what do we see in the Mishnah? Only if we have witnesses that she went to the chuppah with a hinuma, then she's believed and she gets a ksuba of 200. Ha leke edim. If there would be no witnesses and we just don't know, was she an almona, was she a basula, then baal mehemon, then we have no choice. We believe the husband that it could be, or at least we have to say that it could be the husband is right, that she was an almona and she was not a basula, and she only gets mona, she only gets 100 zuz. We don't say that till she got married, or till when she was born, she was a basula, and we have chezkas haguf, which means the status quo of her body is that she was a basula. We don't say that we have a chezkas basula, and therefore she's ne'mon. No, it could well be that she was not a basula. And the only way you can take the 200 from the husband is by proving that through the chuppah ceremony that indeed she was a besula. How do you do that? By two witnesses coming to say either hinuma or reisha perua, and according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Baraika, also the chiluk kloyos. So if we see here that we do not use cheskas haguf in order to say that she's believed, and you need edim, then leimet nan stoma deloik Rabban Gamliel. It seems that this Mishnah, the anonymous opinion of the Tanakhama of this Mishnah, is not like Rabban Gamliel on Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis. De'i Rabban Gamliel, because we saw there, according to Rabban Gamliel, ha'omer hi'i mehemna. We saw in Rabbi Gamliel in the first Perek on Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis, he said that we rely on her word because she's got cheskas haguf. She's a chazaka, that she's a basula. So you say that on Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis, explicitly Rabbi Gamliel held that way. Why over here does she need to bring Edim? Why don't we say she's got a cheskas haguf and she's claiming she was a basula? She should be ne'emenes, like over there. So it seems that this Mishnah is following Rabbi Yeshua, not Rabbi Gamliel. Says the Gemara, no. Afilo teimer Rabban Gamliel, it could well be that this Mishnah goes even according to Rabban Gamliel. Ad kan lo ka'omar Rabban Gamliel hosam. When did Rabban Gamliel over there say that she's believed? Only when, together with her having cheskas haguf, she's got another advantage as well. And that is that her claim, relative to his claim, is a certain claim. She says with certainty, I deserve more ksuba. And he says, maybe not. We had a few cases there. He says, maybe not, it's Bori Vashema. She's certain, and he's got a doubt, maybe not, and she's got the cheskas haguf. Then Rav Gamliel says she's believed. Hosom elo b'bori v'shemo. When the certain, her claim is certain, and his is not. Avel hoch over here, bori u'bori. Both of them are coming with a definite claim. Here the husband is saying, I know you own almona. She says, I know I was a basula. When it comes to Bori Vabori, there we don't, Loy Omar there, Ibn Gamliel, didn't say that we use Cheskas Haguf, and therefore this Mishnah could conform even with Ibn Gamliel. Says the Gemara, this is such a straightforward answer. Ude korile mai korile. Ho Bori or Bori hu. This is so straightforward, this answer, that over here they're both Bori, and over there is Bori Vashemo. What made you think that this Mishnah is similar to the opinions there, and this Mishnah would then not be following Ibn Gamliel? Says the Gemara, no. Because even in this Mishnah, her claim is way up from his claim. Even though he's coming with a certain claim, and she's coming with a certain claim over here, nonetheless, relative to the strength of her claim, his claim is on the same ratio as Bori Vashema, even though he's certain. But no, we'll look at it as if it's not so certain. Why? Because her claim is much more certain. Why would her claim be considered more certain? Because besides for her being certain, there's also a majority. Most women who get married once, get married for the first time. And therefore, there's a roiv that is supporting her claim. Besides for the cheskas haguf, you've also got a roiv. And since you have a roiv, her claim is stronger than his. And therefore, it would be similar to Bori Vashema. And we would assume that if Rabban Gamliel says there, Bori Vashema, Bori Odif, and we say Cheskas Haguf, and she is Nemenes, here too, where there's a Roiv, we would assume that her claim overrides his claim, and she would be Nemenes. And Ki Bori Vashema, Domi, is similar to Bori Vashema. And if our Mishnah says she's not Nemenes without Edim, it would seem that our Mishnah is not following Rabban Gamliel. That was the logic of the one who asked the question. The Gemara answered, no. Even though most women get married when they're basulais, nonetheless, since they're both Bori, Rabban Gamliel can agree that we do not say that Cheskas Haguf overrides and allows her to take the money from him, and in the absence of Edim, she will not be Ne'emenes. V'hochinami mistabra, and it's very probable that this Mishnah is actually following with Rabban Gamliel. That means the ratio of the Mishnah is Rabban Gamliel. And in this case, Rabban Gamliel agrees that we don't say that she has cheskas haguf because his claim is as certain as her claim. It's probable. Midiktoni, since at the end of the Mishnah we said, Umoyde Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua agreed to Rabban Gamliel. So, Iyomras Bishleim, if you're going to say that Iri Rabban Gamliel b'moyde, if you're going to say that the beginning of the Mishnah is actually Rabban Gamliel, and even though Rabban Gamliel there said she's believed, here says she's not believed, without Edim, she's not believed, and we say no, here Rabban Gamliel agrees to Rabbi Yeshua as we explained, because over here it's Bori or Bori, and her claim does not override his claim. So if the beginning of the Mishnah, he's agreeing to Rabbi Yeshua, then Shapir, we can understand that the end of the Mishnah, Rabbi Yeshua is agreeing to Rabban Gamliel. Even though Rabbi Yeshua said, you do not say Migu earlier on in Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis, over here he agrees to Rabban Gamliel, you do say Migu. Eloi Amrus Loi Ay Rabban Gamliel Bamoida, if you say that the beginning of the Mishnah is not Rabban Gamliel, is indeed like the person who asked the question thought, that this Mishnah is similar to Bori Roshema, and if she is not believed, it's obviously not Rabban Gamliel, it's Rabbi Yeshua. And if so, if the beginning of the Mishnah is a statement which we're going to is Rabbi Yeshua's opinion, then Rabbi Yeshua Leman Moida, what's the end of the Mishnah? Suddenly Rabbi Yeshua is saying, Rabbi Yeshua agrees to Rabban Gamliel. Who's agreeing to who? What's going on here? Answers the Gemara, that itself wouldn't be a proof. It could well be that the beginning of the Mishnah is Rabbi Yeshua. You want to know what it means, the end of the Mishnah, that Rabbi Yeshua agrees to Rabban Gamliel? You know, Misavrus Rabbi Yeshua Hai Pirkin Koi. Who says that when it says Omoid Rabbi Yeshua, that Rabbi Yeshua is agreeing to the Rabban Gamliel in the same way as Rabban Gamliel agreed to him within this Mishnah, within this Peruk? No, Amigu Koi. This Moid Rabbi Yeshua, the end of the Mishnah, is going back to Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis. Vapirkin Kamakoi is discussing the concept of Migu mentioned on Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis. That in Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis, Rabbi Yeshua held we do not use Migu. However, a type of Migu as strong as this one, of a Pesha Osa, Hua Pesha Hitir, and Migu that you could have been silent and said nothing, you're believed to say what you said, that Rabbi Yeshua agrees to Rabban Gamliel. That's a basic reading of this Gemara. It is a little bit complicated. I've read it in a way that's relatively understandable, but there's a Tosfos here that discusses the backwards and forwards in the Gemara, and there is what to delve deeper, but that's a basic reading of the Gemara, and that's as deep as Rashi takes us. Now the Gemara is asking, Ahai, we just said now, Umoidu Rabbi Yeshua means that even though there was, that in the first Peruk, there's a Mishnah that says that Rabbi Yeshua doesn't hold of Migu, Umoidu Rabbi Yeshua, this type of Migu, Rabbi Yeshua does agree with. Where in the first Peruk do we find that Rabbi Yeshua could have said Migu and didn't say Migu? And then it would make sense to say that over here he's Moida with this type of Migu. We had a number of cases in the Mishnais in the first Peruk, which one actually had a Migu? Ilema, are you going to suggest, and the Mishnah, the Gemara is going to give suggestions starting from the Mishnah is closest to here, because we assume Moed Rabbi Yeshua on something that was said just previously in the Mishnah. And when that doesn't go, the Gemara is going to go one after the next backwards with the Mishnah. The first one is on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, Ilema Aho. Are you going to say, is this Mishnah the case we'll all remember from Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, Hoysam Uberes, if this girl who's pregnant, and they said, what's the nature, the status of this child? Who's the father? Is he a kosher? Is he not kosher? And she answers, Me'ish ploini, for that the person who's the father of this child is so-and-so, v'koyinhu, and he's a miyuchas, he's a kosher person. We had a machlekes, Rabban Gamliel, Rabbi Eliezer, Oimrim, Ne'emenes. Rabban Gamliel says, and Rabbi Eliezer, that she's believed. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Loi Mipia Onuchaim. We're going to make judgments and decisions based on what she says. And over there, Rabbi Yeshua argued and said, no, she's not believed, and we have to at least take into account that it could be this child is not kosher. So are we saying that this Mishnah is going back on that case? Which would mean in that case, there would have been a Migu, and Rabbi Yeshua says, we don't say Migu there, we say Migu in the case in our Mishnah here on Daftez Vav Amud Beis. The question is over there, is there any concept of Migu's Hosom my Migu Ika? Over there, the reason Einu Nemenes is nothing to do with Migu. It's not because you don't hold of Migu and Rabbi Gamliel does hold of Migu. There's no Migu there. What would be the Migu? The Migu that she could have said a better claim. What did she say? She said this person is kosher. What better claim could you have said? I never had relations with a man. And we say, oh, you've got Migu. You could have denied ever having relations with a man. And now that you agreed that you had relations and you said he's kosher, you want us to believe you. Well, you couldn't have said that you never had relations with a man. Hare Kreis or Ben Shinel, we can see you're pregnant. You've got a stomach that's coming up. And the literal translation is the stomach is between her teeth, but it means that we can see you're a bulging stomach. We see you're pregnant. You can't say you didn't have relations with anyone. So there's no Migu. There's no other claims you could have said. So if there's no Migu, there's no Migu. So you can't say that over there, Rabbi Yeshua doesn't hold of Migu. Over here, he does hold of Migu. Says the Gemara, okay, so that's obviously not the case we're referring to. Elo aha, we'll take the case also in Dafid Gimel Amud Aleph, the case just before that, actually in the same Mishnah. Ra'uha medaberes. They saw her, the literal translation is, they saw her talking to somebody. And we don't know, where did this lead? Did they have relations? Did they not have relations? Ra'uha medaberes im echod. V'omrullah, they said to the woman, Ma tivu shalishzeh. Tell us the nature of this person. Maybe you had relations with somebody kosher, maybe with somebody who's not kosher, somebody who's going to prohibit you to marry a kohen. And she answers, Ish ployni v'kohen hu, no, it was so and so, and he's kosher. And again, Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Yeza, Imrim Ne'emenes, Rabbi Shua, Imrim Loi Mipia, Onu Choyim. Rabbi Gamliel says that we believe her, that he was kosher, and Rabbi Shua says we don't live our lives and make decisions based on her words, and she's not believed, and we have to suspect that she had relations with somebody who was not kosher l'kohana. Are you going to say over there, Rabbi Shua says that she's not believed because he doesn't hold of migu? Hosom again, my migu ikka. What migu is there? That means she said that I had relations with somebody and he was kosher. Well, you want me to believe you because you could have said a better claim. What better claim could you have said? So let's see, just a minute. What does medaberes mean? We'll all remember, we saw this in the Gemara before in Daf Yud Gimel. There's a machlekes amiroim. What does medaberes mean? Does medaberes mean they saw her just having a yichud? And we just assume that if they went into a secluded place, we assume that they had relations, but it could be they didn't have relations. Or does ra'uah medaberes mean that they were actually spotted having relations together? Well, that makes a very big difference, because if the Edim spotted her having relations, then there's no migu. She couldn't say, I didn't have relations with him. What do you mean, ra'uah medaberes? We saw they had relations. But if ra'uah medaberes means that all they saw was a yichud, she could have said, yeah, there was a yichud, and we shouldn't have done that. But we went into a secluded place, but we never had any relations. She could have said that. And she said something which is to her disadvantage. She says, we had relations, but he was kosher. If so, then indeed there is the concept of a migu. Rabbi Shua says she's not believed because he doesn't hold of migu. Then indeed that would work. So the Gemara says, Ha nichal ze'iri, according to ze'iri, who explained to Omar, my medaberes nistara, that medaberes means that all that was, the only thing the witnesses saw was that they had yichud. Then there's a migu. Migu di boy omra loy nivalti. She could have said, I didn't have any relations with anyone. And since she didn't say that, and she said I had relations, he knew it was kosher, he should have been believed. Uka omra, and she said nivalti, I did have a beer with somebody kosher. Mehemna, the migu would say she's believed. Rabbi Shua says loy mipia onichoim. So there we have a place that says Rabbi Shua doesn't hold of migu. So we can understand that over here Rabbi Yeshua says, or Moed Rabbi Yeshua agrees, there's one type of migu we do say, and that's a pesha osa hu a pesha hitir. Elol Rabbi Asi, according to Rabbi Asi, the Omar Mai Medaberes Niv'eles, the Mishnah that says Ra'uah Medaberes means that she was seen having relations, then she couldn't have said I didn't have relations, so there's no migu, my migu ikka. So according to Rabbi Asi, we have an issue. What does it mean? Moed Rabbi Yeshua, over here there's a migu. Well, where does he disagree with migu? Ve'elo aho. It must be, it's going on a different Mishnah. Early on in the first Perek, Hiyoy Meres Mukas Eitzani. She says, the reason I didn't have Basulim is because I had an accident and a piece of wood injured me and removed the Basulim. V'hu Oimer, and he says, no. Loi ki elo drusas ishat. He says, no, the reason you didn't have Basulim is because you had relations with a man. And we saw in the Gemara there's a discussion exactly what's his claim, what's her claim. It would seem over there. She says, Mukas Eitz. Well, could she have said a better claim? Because over there, Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Eliezer, Yoimrim Ne'emenes. Again, Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer say, we believe her, that she was Mukas Eitz. Rabbi Yeshua Yoimer, Loi Mipia Yonuchoyim. We don't believe her. And we have to suspect that she wasn't a Mukas Eitz, she was a Drusas Ish. So the question is over there, if we don't believe her, when she says that she's Mukas Eitz, is there a better claim that she could have said? Well, let's see. My Migu Hosom, my Migu Ika. Is there a migu there? Could she have said a better claim than I didn't have relations, I was injured with a piece of wood? So again, we had a machlekes over there. When she says mukas eitz and he says drusas ish, what are they actually arguing about? So, and also, there's a discussion, when was she mukas eitz? Was she mukas eitz after the Kiddushin? Was she Mukas Eitz before the Kiddushin? If she's Mukas Eitz before the Kiddushin, he can have a claim and say, You weren't a basula. No one told me. I was marrying a basula. If she's mukaseit after the kiddushin, she can say, I'm so sorry. When we got married, I was a basula. The accident happened afterwards between the kiddushin and the nisuin. And it's just bad luck. I'm so sorry. But there's nothing wrong with the fact that with the way you acquired me as a wife. I was a basula at the time of the kiddushin. The question is, and the Mishnah there is talking about after the kiddushin, where he says it was drusasish, and she says, no, there was talking about before the kiddushin, where he says that somebody had relations with you before the kiddushin, and she says, no, it was mukas eitz before the kiddushin. Does she have a migu? Would it help her to say, I wasn't mukas eitz before the kiddushin, I was mukas eitz after the kiddushin? It sounds like it might help her, because that means at the time of the kiddushin, she was a normal basula. But does that actually help her? Does that help her claim? Well, that depends how much mukas eitz after the kiddushin, how much ksuba she would get. It's a machlokes. If mukas eitz, before the kiddushin, if mukas eitz before the kiddushin would give her, no, mukas eitz before, yeah, if mukas eitz before the kiddushin would give her 200, then mukas eitz after the kiddushin won't give her more than that. If mukas eitz before the kiddushin, he says, you let me down, I thought I was marrying a basula, not a mukas eitz, and before the kiddushin, you are already not a basula, you are mukas eitz, you only deserve 100 zuz. If so, her claim that she was a mukas eitz after the kiddushin would gain her an extra 100. Because if she's mukas eitz after the kiddushin, she'll certainly deserve 200. Then she would have a migu. Migu that she could have said mukas eitz after the kiddushin. And she didn't say that, she said mukas eitz before the kiddushin. That's a reason to believe her, because if she would have been lying, she would have said a better lie. So, since she could have said mukas eitz tachtecho, we believe her that she was a mukas eitz and not a drusas ish. So we have to see all this in the Gemara. Bishleimul Rebbe Elazar, according to Rebbe Elazar de Omar, b'mone v'loy klum, that the discussion between him and her was, does she get a monet or does she get nothing? That means if she was a mukas eitz before the kiddushin, then he only has to give her 100. And if she was a drusas ish, the konso becheskas besula v'nimtzeis beula, to mekach tos, she gets nothing. If so, she has a migu. Because saying mukas eitz before the kiddushin, she only gets 100 zuz. Saying mukas eitz after the kiddushin, she would get 200 zuz. Migu di boy omra mukas eitz anitachtecho. She could have said, I was a mukas eitz after we got married, after the kiddushin. V'islam osayim, and I get 100. Uka omra. Meikara, and she said that I wasn't mukas eitz after we got married, after the kiddushin. I was mukas eitz before we got the kiddushin, and therefore it's a disadvantage to her. But she should be believed. Deles lo elamona, she only gets 100 zuz. Mehemlo, she should be believed. And nonetheless, Rabbi Yeshua says she's not believed. Lo mipia onuchoyim. So indeed, we see from there that Rabbi Yeshua doesn't hold of migu. And over here he says, "Omoid Rabbi Yeshua, that this type of migu we do say." Elo Rabbi Yechonon, according to Rabbi Yechonon de Omar, b'mosayim v'mone, the argument between him and her. She says mukas eitz, and he says drusas ish. That she says mukas eitz before the kiddushin, and nonetheless she gets 200 like an average basula, like any basula. And the reason she didn't have a begeris, the reason she didn't have basulim, doesn't take away from the fact that she gets 200, no different to a boigeres who's over 12 and a half, who also doesn't have basulim, and she gets 200. Umone, and he says, drusas ish, and he gets mone. Konto becheskas basulov nimtes beula gets 100 zuz. Over there, my migu ika. There's no migu. She said I was a drusas ish before the kiddushin. She says I was a mukas ish before the kiddushin, and I get 200. What could she have said? I was mukas ish after the kiddushin? It's the same 200. So she's got no migu. If there's no migu, then that Mishnah can't be the one which is the contrast to our Mishnah regarding migu. My migu ikka. Elo aha, it must be a different Mishnah. On Dafyud Beis Amud Beis. Noises ish over there, he got married. V'lo nimotza lo basulim, he didn't find any basulim. Here Meres, she said, Misha irastani ne'nasti. Somebody violated me after the kiddushin. I'm so sorry, it's your bad luck. It's no different to if your field would have got flooded. When the time of the Kiddushin, I was a basula. Between the Kiddushin and the Chuppah, somebody violated me and now I'm not a basula anymore. I'm so sorry, but Mishe Irastani, after the Kiddushin, there was an oinus. And he says, no, loiki elo achelo irastich. That the incident that happened was before the Kiddushin and you let me down at the time of the Kiddushin, you're not a basula. So again, Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Eliezer, Oimrim Ne'emenes, Rabbi Yeshua, Oimer, Loi Mipiyah Nuchoyim. Again, there's a machlokes, Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Gamliel says she's believed, and Rabbi Yeshua says that not. Over there, is there a migu? Yes. The migu di boy omro, mukas eitz ani tachtecho. Over there, she could have said, the reason there's no basulim is because after the kiddushin, it was a mukas eitz. And then it's certainly to her advantage. Because doing a znus, which is Misha Irastani Ne'enasti, the case, what her claim, even though it was an oinus, but znus ba'oinus, she was an eshesish, it makes it also to a kohen. So, and she's saying, Misha Irastani Ne'enasti. She could have said a better claim. She could have said, it was a mukas eitz, and then she would be muta still to a kohen. And why didn't she say a better claim? You have a migu. Migu di boy omro. She could have said, and she would not have puzzled herself, she would not have made herself be puzzled. And she says there was an oinus there. There was a relations with a man there. And since she was married, she's puzzled. And so we see there's a migu. And nonetheless, Rabbi Shua says, so you see, Rabbi Shua doesn't hold of migu. That's why Rabbi Gamliel says she is believed, because there's a migu. Rabbi Shua says to Rabbi Gamliel, in the case over there, behind migu dahacha, over there, I don't hold of migu. Over here, in this case here, now our Mishnah, umoyde Rabbi Shua, migu dahacha, moydina lachai, agree with you, bahu migu dahosam, that only in the migu over there, paligna ilavoch, I argue with you. However, the migu of here, I don't argue with you, Rabbi Gamliel. Here, umayda Rabbi Yeshua, there is a migu. Asks the Gemara, I don't understand. Mechti hai migu, vahai migu. Both are using the same logic of migu. That since you could have said a better claim, and you didn't say the better claim, that's proof that you're not lying. Why should the migu there not be believed, and the migu here, yes, be believed? Answers the Gemara, as we explained before. Mechti hai migu v'hai migu, maishno hai migu mehai migu. What's the difference between that migu and this migu? Hocha ein shoyro shochut lefanecha. If you see an ox that's slaughtered, that's shechted in front of you, question comes to mind. The situation arises a question. The situation is screaming the question, who shechted the ox? This ox has been violated, has been killed by somebody. Who did it? There's already a question that presents itself. There, you don't say migu. In the case over there, in the Mishnayos in the first Perek, over there he didn't find basulim. The question is screaming. He's saying, where the basulim? He gives one claim, she gives another claim. Rabbi Yeshua says, over there we don't say migu. But hosam harisher shachot lefanecha. That means, hocha, in the case over here, in our migu, ein sher shachot lefanecha. In the case here where Reuven says to Shimon, you know, this field used to belong to your father, I bought it from him. Shimon never knew anything about it. There was no question here. There was no situation that demanded an answer. Reuven presented a situation and he says, this field used to belong to your father. So he's presenting the discussion and then saying, I bought it from your father. Rabbi Shua says there's a migu. Over there, there's a sher shachut lefanecha. The situation is screaming the question. In that case, there's no migu. According to Rabbi Shua. Continues the Gemara. V'kiven deroiv noshim besulois nisois. We saw before that the reason to believe that our Mishnah, the beginning of the Mishnah, where he says that she was an almona and she says she was a basula, that the reason that his claim is a disadvantaged relative to her claim is because roiv noshim basula is nisois, most women who get married for the first time and the only time, and that's why his claim that she was an almona has a ratio of suffix, it's a less certain claim, a less clear claim, at least in one stage of the Gemara earlier on. If so, kiloi osu edim may hava. What did we say now? We said that if there's edim who come to say that the ceremony of the chuppah was behinuma, or roisha parua, or the chiluk kloyis in the place of Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroika, in all those cases, there we have proof, we have witnesses that say that she was a basula, and only then she gets 200 zuz for her ksuba. But if there's no edim, then we don't know if she got married as a basula. The question is, why can you not assume that she got married as a basula? Not only because of the cheskas haguf, which we've already discussed, but there's a roiv. There's a majority in standing for her claim, the majority that says that women who get married are basulais, not almonais. Kiloi asu edim, even when witnesses don't come forward, may have her. So what? she's still, we should assume that she was got married as a basula. Omar Ravina, Mishum de Ikala Meimar, Roiv Noshim Basulais Nisais, Umiot Almonis, because as follows, it's true that most women get married as basulais. A minority of women get married, ba'ulais, almonis, a second marriage. V'chol ha'nisas basula, however, all women who get married as a basula, yesh lo koil. There's a voice, there's an echo. People know about it, everyone's talking. People say, this is a basula getting married, which means everybody knows about it. And how do they know about it? They know about it because she went out behinuma, or roisha perua, or chiluk kloyos. It's something everybody knows, says the Gemara. And therefore, vazu, and this woman here, hoil v'ein lo koil, since there's no koil, we haven't got, there's Edim didn't come and say, in the absence of Edim, there's obviously no koil. If there's no koil, Israele Ruba. It's true that there's a majority standing in her for her cause. The majority of women get married as basulais. But if you got married as a basula, everybody knows about it. And here nobody's coming forward. So we've got something which is standing against that roiv. And therefore we don't use that roiv. And therefore in the absence of Edim, she does not get the 200 zuz. Says the Gemara, if you're so clear that every single woman that gets married as a basula, everybody knows about it, then if only two Edim come forward and nobody else comes forward, then really the fact that nobody else comes forward is proof that these Edim are lying. Two people, you two know that she went out behinuma. Everybody knows. We just said now, kolanis is basula. Anybody that gets married is a basula, yesh lo koil. Everybody knows about it. You're the only two that came forward. There's something suspicious. I kolanis is basula, yesh lo koil. If that's true, ki osu edim, even when edim come, my hava. Why can we believe the edim? Hanoch sadi shakrininu. We have to assume that these edim, they're liars. So how can we trust them? Elom Ravina, Ravina changes it. He tweaks the statement a little bit. Roiv hanisas besula yesh lo koil. Not like we saw before that kol hanisas besula. That means most women who get married are besulais. The minority are almonis. But all those, we said before that all those who get married besulais have a koil. No, we're tweaking that a bit. Roiv hanisas besula. Most of the girls who get married as besulais, there's a koil. People know about it. Roiv anisus basula yesh lo koil. Vazu and this woman here, there's two edim. There was no koil. There was only two edim. Nobody else seemed to come forward. Hoil ve'ein lo koil. Isra baruba. Over here, we say that the fact that there wasn't a koil, the fact that not everybody knows about it, that says the majority standing against you. You had a roiv. Roiv girls get married as basulais. Okay, why does everybody not know? You're asking me, how can you trust the Edim if everybody has to know? No, because there's a minority of basulais. That means most people who get married are basulais. Indeed, there's a roiv. But there's a minority of basulais that when they get married, not everybody knows about it. And therefore, you cannot assume that these Edim are liars. These Edim may well be saying the truth. And this girl is from the miut, from the minority of basulais who got married, who not everybody knows about it, and therefore we believe them if there's Edim. But since not everybody knows about it, when in the majority of cases when the basulais get married, everyone knows, therefore we cannot use that roiv in her interest, and therefore in the absence of Edim, she does not get the 200 zuz. Continues the Gemara, Im yesh Edim sheyotza behinuma v'chulu. And this takes us back to the Mishnah. We saw in the Mishnah, if there's an argument between the husband and the wife, was she a basula, was she an almona? If she can bring Edim and say that to the Beis Din, that when she went to the chuppah, she went behinuma, or she went baroisha perua, or with chiluk kloyes, according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroika, then we have proof that when she went to the chuppah, that she was a basula, and she deserves 200 zuz for the ksuba. And indeed, that's what it says in the Mishnah, that ksubas amosayim. Ask the Gemara, we have an issue here. If there's any way of her claiming the 200 zuz besides for coming with the ksuba, the document of the ksuba, and saying, look, it says here I was a basula, I want 200 zuz. If she's got another way of getting the ksuba, then we have an issue. V'leichesh, dilma mafke edim b'hai beidina v'gavio. Maybe she's going to come to Beis Din with two edim and say, look, I've got two witnesses that when I went to the chuppah, I went behinuma, I want the ksuba of 200. The Mishnah says, Ksubas HaMasayim, V'hoda Mafkir al Ksuba Bahai Beidina. What's going to happen then? She's going to come a few days later to the Beis Din and going to say, look, here's a Ksuba. I've got a document. He's committed to pay me 200 zuz. Give me 200 zuz. And how is anyone going to prove that he's already paid her the Ksuba a few days earlier based on the Edim of the Hinuma? The Begavia bond, she's going to claim the 200 zuz with this shtar. So if we've got, whenever there's a document that says that he has to pay her money, and she's got a way of taking the money without the document, what's stopping her reclaiming it again with the document? Omer Rabbavol says, this is proof to his opinion, Zoysei Meres. In other places in Shas, Rabbavol says, Kuisvin Shaivar. You write a receipt that when the husband pays the wife the 200 zuz ksuba, she writes, I've received the ksuba. So if she's later going to come with the actual document and say, pay me the ksuba, he'll pull out the receipt and say, I've already paid you. Rav Papa Omar. Rav Papa says, we don't want people writing receipts. And whenever there's a document, we do not rely on a receipt at all. Why? Because then the poor fellow has to keep this receipt and make sure that the animals and the elements don't destroy the receipt in risk of losing the money again. So Rav Papa says, we don't write receipts. If there was a ksuba, she's not going to get any money with no edim. Unless you come forward with a ksuba. Either you come with a ksuba and then we'll pay you and then we'll take the ksuba away from her in exchange for the money, or she's not going to get the ksuba. Over here where the Mishnah says that we do listen to the Edim of Hinuma to give her 200 is B'mokim She'in Kuisvin Ksuba Askinon. We're talking about a place where the custom was not to write any ksuba. There is no document. And she's coming to Beis Din saying, with two Edim of Hinuma, with two Edim with Hinuma, in that case, we'll give you the 200 zuz. We're not afraid you're going to come later with the ksuba because there is no ksuba. Are we afraid she's going to come to this Beis Din again with other edim or with the same edim or other edim hinuma? No, because the dayanim will recognize her. What's stopping her going to a different Beis Din and saying that that here's edim hinuma, give me the 200 zuz, that the Gemara is going to discuss soon. The ikad amasni lo abraisa. There are some people who that this discussion between Rav Avohu and Rav Papa, do we write receipts, do we not write receipts? That actually wasn't said on our Mishnah. That our Mishnah says that you rely on Edim, but why are we not afraid she's going to pull out the Ksuba? Rav Avohu says write a receipt. Rav Papa says never write, we don't write receipts. There must be there was no Ksuba, but not on the Mishnah. It was said on a Braisa. In a slightly different context, and the Gemara is soon going to discuss the difference between whether it was said in the Braisa or whether it was said in the Mishnah. It says in the Braisa, Ibdo Ksubasa, if she lost the Ksuba, or Hitmino Ksubasa, she hid the Ksuba, or Nisrafo Ksubasa, the Ksuba got burnt. Then if one of the following happened, if Rogdu Lefonov, if when she got married, they danced it before her. Sochaku lefoneo. They laughed, they sported before her. Heviru lefoneo koischel basuro. Or if they passed before this kala a cup. Now this cup was a type of announcement saying she's a basura. We'll soon see what cup this was. The Gemara will discuss that soon. Oy mapo shel basulim. Or the sheet, the cloth, where the dam of the basulim actually presented themselves is going to be brought forward. Im yesh lo edim be'echod mikol elu, if witnesses come with any of these, either roktu, sochaku, heviru lefoneo, lefkois shel basura, oy mapo shel basulim, if edim can testify to any of those, then we can take it for granted she was a basula, and ksuboso motayim, she gets 200 zuz ksuba, even though the ksuba is either lost, or hidden, or burnt. So that is the braisa. And here the Gemara is asking the same question. Maybe she'll bring Edim to the effect of one of the four things we mentioned, that she was a Basula, and she'll claim 200 zuz. Then she's going to come to the same Beis Din a little bit later. She'll come with her Ksuba and say, here's the Ksuba, it's a document, he owes me 200 zuz. And she's going to claim the Ksuba. So it's the same question we had on the Mishnah before, we have on the Braisa. Omer Bavol, Rav Avohu says, Zoy Semeres, so this is obviously proof to my opinion, Koisvin Shoivar, we have no choice, you write a receipt. Rav Papa, Omer, Rav Papa ever has an issue, because Rav Papa says, you don't write receipts, we don't want people to have to save the receipts from the elements that they should never get ruined, in fear that if the receipt gets lost, somebody is going to be able to violate him and reclaim a second time from the document. Says Rav Papa, if there was a ksuba, then we don't write a receipt. When do we write a receipt? When do we give with the edim? Sorry, when there's a document, there's no receipt. You either bring the document or you don't get the ksuba. Over here, where we listen to the edim, it must be b'mokim she'ein kaisin ksuba askinon. It must be that it's in a place where there was no ksuba. Interesting thing to say. Just read the braisa we just said. There was a ksuba, and the ksuba was either got lost or got hidden, hitmina, or it got burned. How can you say there was no ksuba? Here we have an explicit braisa that there is a ksuba, and nonetheless you give the money to her based on edim. And if that's the case, how can you not write a receipt? If you don't write a receipt, what's stopping her reclaiming the ksuba from him? How's Rav Papa going to get around this? The Gemara straight to ask that as a question. The Braisa says explicitly there was a ksuba, it got lost. So how can you trust her that she's not going to find that ksuba and reclaim it, according to Rav Papa, who says you don't write receipts? And how can you say that Rav Papa says that it's talking about there was no ksuba, it's explicit in the Braisa there was a ksuba? Says the Gemara, yeah, you're right. It's a place that they don't write the ksuba. But he wrote her, he wrote the ksuba. He made himself a commitment. He wrote down on a document and gave it to her. So I don't understand. If so, saif mafkilo v'gavyabo. So how's that help you? So she's going to come forward with that document that he wrote to her and he's going to claim the ksuba. Well, what have you gained? So again, we have a problem. She's going to come forward with the edim that roktu sochaku heviru lefanao kois shel besura or mapa shel besulim, claim the ksuba, and then come with this document and claim it again. How are we protecting him? According to Papa, that you don't write receipts. Says the Gemara, no. My ibda, ibda ba'ur. We're talking about it got lost, but it got lost in a way that there's no risk of her ever being able to come forward with it again. So it's as good as had there never been a ksuba. What type of loss is impossible to find? It got lost to fire. Ibda ba'ur. It got lost to fire. So it got lost to fire, then it's okay. Then the edim can come, we'll give it to her based on edim, and she will not be able to come forward with a ksuba. Says the Gemara, is that what ibda, getting lost, means to fire? Read the braisa a few words later. It says, nisrafa ksubasa, the ksuba got burnt. Ihochainu nisrafa, asks the Gemara. So how can ibda mean nisrafa? Void another question. Hitmino ma'ikilamemo, and it says it didn't get lost. The second one is that it got hidden. It got put away. If it got put away, she might find it and bring it out and reclaim the ksuba. What are you going to say there? Vasu, and also ibda lomoli. If ibda means that it got burnt, then why are you talking about ibda? Just nisrafa ksubasa. If ibda does mean nisrafa, why do you need to say it twice? And these words, vasu ibda lomali, there's a discussion whether it's supposed to be written in the Gemara, because it's more or less the same question that how can you say ibda is ibda ba'ur, it got lost to fire, if it already says nisrafa. But either way, those are the questions here. Elo, says the Gemara, you have to read the braisa very differently, and it changes the whole page. That what? When we read the braisa, it said as follows: ibdo ksubasa if the ksuba got lost, hitmino ksubasa if the ksuba got hidden away, got put away, nisrafa ksubasa or if the ksuba got burnt. In any of those cases, if edim come and say that either roktu, sochaku, etc., we give her the ksuba. And then we have an issue. According to Rav Papa, that you don't write receipts, how are you going to stop her coming forward and reclaiming the ksuba a second time with the document? Says the Gemara, you have to read it completely differently. And turn the whole thing over. Ibdo ksubasa, if she lost the ksuba, kol ibdo ki hitmino befaneinu domi. If the ksuba got lost, it's as if she hid it in front of us, which is a clear statement. I've got some prank up my sleeve. I'm going to come against him and take the ksuba a second time. So if it's ibdo ksubasa, then it's the similar to hitmino ksubasa, and she clearly doesn't get anything. No edim would help her. V'lo yoivinon lo adda omri edim. You're only going to give it to her, not if edim come and say roktu and sochaku, that's not going to help. The only time you're going to give it to her is if edim come and say that nisrafa ksubasa, the third statement in the braisa. If edim say that the ksuba is completely burnt and gone, then in that case, if they can come forward and say that we have proof at the time of the chuppah she was a basula, then we'll give her 200 zuz. So contra of Papa, there's no proof from this braisa against him. Because again, in this braisa, says that either there was in a place where there's no ksuba, or that there is a ksuba, but there's edim that the ksuba got totally burnt and is no longer existing. In those cases, we'll give her the ksuba if she brings edim that she was a basula at the time. However, according to Rav Papa, if she doesn't come forward with them in a place where they write a ksuba, and there's no edim, this ksuba got burnt, we're never going to give her the money based on any witnesses that she was a besula, because we're afraid she's going to come and claim again. And according to Rav Papa, we don't write receipts. According to Rav Avohu, it's okay, we write a receipt. Says the Gemara, man de masni lo abraisa. The second version, where the machlokes of Avohu and Rav Papa were said on this braisa, kolshkena masnisin. Of course, they'll say the same on the Mishnah. According to Rav Papa, you never write a receipt. You don't write receipts, and the only time you can give the money with Adim saying that she was a basula is only in the event that there is no ksuba whatsoever. If there is a ksuba, we don't listen to Adim. We want the document. If you don't come with the document, you're not getting anything. However, according to the original version, that this machlekes was said on the Mishnah, then in our Mishnah, the Mishnah doesn't tell us what the nature, what happened to the ksuba. So it could well be that the Mishnah that says that we listen to the Edom is talking about a place where there was no ksuba. And Rav Papa says, in a place where there's a ksuba, we don't listen to the Edom because we're afraid that she's going to claim a second time. And according to Rav Papa, you don't write a receipt. However, according to that, if the machlokes of Avohu and Rav Papa were said on the Mishnah, then regarding the Braisa, it's not to be taken for granted that Rav Papa would have said the same. Because at the end of the day, in the Braisa, if you read it straight, the Braisa says that there was a ksuba. Ibdo ksubasa, itmino ksubasa, nisrafa ksubasa. It says extremely straight that there was a ksuba, and nonetheless, you give it to the Edim. And Rav Avohu says it must be, you write a receipt. According to Rav Papa, is going to have an issue with it. So if the version of the Gemara is that Rav Papa explicitly said it even in the Braisa, and then Rav Papa had to manipulate the Braisa and say that Ibdu Ksubasa is similar to Tmina Ksubasa, and she doesn't get. And Nisrafa Ksubasa, only if there's Edim that the Ksuba is burnt, then we listen to the Edim who say she was a Basula. That's twisting the Braisa very far from its basic reading. So if we know that Rav Papa said it on the Braisa, okay, that's what he did to the Braisa. But if Rav Papa was said on the Mishnah, then it's not to be taken for granted that from the Braisa, we don't have a proof, not like Rav Papa. And indeed, in the Braisa, it would seem that you do write a receipt. Manda masni lo abraisa kolshkina masnisin. Manda masni lo masnisin. If you learn the machlokes of Avohu and Rav Papa on the Mishnah, avla braisa loy, but on the braisa, Rav Papa may well not have said it, or would be a proof against Rav Papa, kikushya, like the question we asked. And the braisa says explicitly there was a ksuba, and nonetheless you give her the 200 zuz. In the absence of her coming forward with a ksuba, based on Edim who say she was a basula because roktu, sochaku, etc., and that's not like Rav Papa. Continues the Gemara. Im yesh edim, that we saw in the Mishnah says, if there's edim that to the effect that she was Yotza Behinuma or Roisha Parua, that she was a basula at the time of the chuppah when she got married, then Ksubasa Mosaim, we listen to the edim. Ask the Gemara now. V'leichesh dilma mafki edei hinuma b'hai Beis Din v'gavya. Maybe they're going to come to this Beis Din now and claim the Zayde Yinuma. She's going to say, look, my husband died, he divorced me, and here's to aid him that when I got married, I was a basula, it was Behinuma, etc. And then V'hodar Mafke Eide Yinuma, she's going to bring again Eide Yinuma, Bebeidin Achrina. In the same Beis Din, it won't work. They'll realize straight away that it's a prank, what's going on. But now, in the case that Rashba explains, in the case where she'll come and pull out a ksuba later, they might not realize that it's the same woman coming that came a few earlier on and with Edei Numa, now she's coming with the ksuba, they might not realize that. But if she's coming with Edei Numa and then coming again with Edei Numa, they'll realize that. But a different Beis Din won't realize. So she might come to Beidina Achrina, she'll come to a different Beis Din, Vegavya, and again claim the ksuba. How are we protecting the husband against that? Says the Gemara, it must be B'mokim Deloy Efshar, in a place indeed where the custom was that you don't write a get, vadai kosvina on shaver, it must be you have to write a receipt. We have no choice whatsoever that in order to protect him from her being able to use the Edei Yinuma twice, it must be that she writes him a receipt. So according to Rabbi Avohu, kosvin shaver, we write a shaver even when there was a ksuba, we write the shaver, she writes the receipt, and we can give it to the Edim. Rav Papa says that when there's a ksuba, we never write a receipt. When there wasn't a ksuba, then we don't have a choice. And this is, beforehand in the Gemara, we thought that Rav Papa says you never write a receipt. And then we said it must be that you don't write a receipt because there's no ksuba, there's no it's not necessary to write a receipt. Now the Gemara says no. Even when there's no ksuba, it's still necessary to write a receipt because it's true she can't come forward with a ksuba, but she can come forward again with the edim of hinuma. And therefore, if Papa has to agree that when there's no ksuba, in a place where you don't write a ksuba, you've got no choice, you have to write a receipt. In the case where there is a ksuba, then Rav Papa says you don't write a receipt and you have to come forward with the ksuba itself. If you can prove that the ksuba got burnt altogether, then we saw before there, she'll have to write the receipt. Continues the Gemara. Haviru lefaneo kois shel basura. We saw that one of the ways of proving that she was a basula, we saw this in the Braisa, early on the Omud, that if they passed before her by the chuppah, the cup which announces she was a basula, then that's a proof. If Adim can say that, we know she got married as a basula. Asks the Gemara, "My kois shel basura, what is this cup that tells us she was a basula?" Omer v'adabar ava, kois yain shel truma mavirin ufanel. You pass before her a cup of wine of truma, and what it's really saying is that there's something similar between truma and this girl. Kloimer, what's it telling us? That ru'uya hoisazu lechel b'truma. That this girl she's a basula and not a zayna, and since she's a basula, she would be allowed to marry a kohen, and if she marries a kohen, she can eat and drink truma. However, if you don't have this case, maybe there's something telling us that she's not a basula. Says the Gemara, I don't understand. It's true that a basula can marry a kohen, but every girl who's not a basula can't marry a kohen and can't drink truma. What happens if she's not a zayna? What happens if she's an almona? A regular almona, why would a cup of truma? She can't drink the truma. She could also marry a kohen. A kohen's allowed to marry an almona, a regular kohen. Maskev lor of papa, otu almona mile ochlo betruma. How can passing before her a cup of truma be proof that she's not an almona? It can be proof she's not a zayna, but not that she's not an almona. El omer of papa, no. We're not trying to tell her that she can drink this truma in contrast to an almona who couldn't. No. We're trying to say there's something similar between the girl and truma. What is that? Zu reishis katruma reishis. And the same as truma is always that we tithe the first part before eating anything. The first thing we do is we take off truma, so to this girl. This is the first time she's entering marriage. And that's what this cup is alluding to, and therefore it's proof that she's a basula and not an almona. Tanya Rabbi Yehuda Omer Chovis Shel Yain Mavirin Lefonel. And the Braisa says, what did they used to pass before the Basulais? A barrel of wine. Omer Ravada Barava. Ravada Barava used to say that Basula Mavirin Lefonel Stuma. When a Basula would get married, then she's like a closed barrel. No one had ever penetrated into her. And therefore, by a Basula, we would pass before her a sealed barrel. Bu'ula, however, if she's a bu'ula, then mavirin lefanel psucha, then we pass before her an open barrel. Amai? Why do we say that you have to pass before a bu'ula an open barrel? Why don't you just say nevir kami basula? Just pass before a basula a closed barrel, v'kami bu'ula lo nevir klal. And by a bu'ula, just don't pass any barrel. Why do you need a sign that she's a basula and a sign that she's a bu'ula? It's enough that there's a sign that she's a basula. In the absence of that sign, we'll know she's a ba'ula. Why do we need to have why do we need to pass an open barrel in front of a ba'ula? Says the Gemara, because there can be an issue. Zimnim d'tofsa mosaim. It's true that if she comes to Beis Din and wants the ksuba, and the Edim say that there was no barrel that was passed in front of her, maybe she's an almona, and therefore they wouldn't give her the 200 zuz. However, what happens if she grabs 200 zuz? She takes the law into her own hands. Zimlin de tofsa mosaim. She says, I know I was a basula, and she grabs 200. He says, no. But now he has to take away from her. Normally, she's taking the money from him. Now she's grabbed it. He's got to prove that he can take the money back. So when he says there was no barrel, is that really proof that she was not a basula and she has to give back 100? Maybe not. V'omro, she's going to say, I'm not basula, no, havoy. I was a basula. You want to know why they didn't pass any barrel? The reason they didn't pass a barrel is asnusi uda asnisu. It wasn't because I was a bu'ula. It's just because they were all intoxicated with wine and they just forgot and they were too confused and they didn't pass the barrel in front of me. But that's not a proof that I was not a basula. And then they won't be able to take away from her the extra 100 zuz that she took. And therefore, We say that if you're a Bu'ulon, they're going to pass before her a closed barrel. And you can't say, because they were intoxicated, they forgot to open the barrel. It's so simple to open a barrel. They would have opened the barrel if she was a Bu'ulon. That means if they passed before an open barrel, and to say she was a Bu'ula, she can't say, no, really I was a Basula, and they were too intoxicated to close it. No, it's not so complicated to close a barrel. And if they didn't close the barrel, that means that you are a Bu'ula. And therefore we say, in any which way, there's got to be, you've passed a barrel. A Basula, a closed barrel. A Bu'ula, an open barrel. And that way, don't blame anything on people being intoxicated. We will know from the status of the barrel whether she was an Almona or a Basula. But if we say that there's only a sign by a Basula, and closed barrel, and no barrel by a Bu'ula, this Bu'ula might grab the 200 and say, you don't have proof that I was a Bu'ula, just because they didn't pass a barrel, they were too intoxicated to do that, and therefore, Rav Ada Ba'ava says, whichever way you hold it, you pass a barrel. And Yemirtz Hashem, in the next shir, we're going to continue the next Gemara.